All right. Well, kiddos, you guys can be dismissed to your class. If you are, this is your first Sunday going to grade school, just follow the rest of them, and they'll get you where you need to go, and you will be taken care of. Wow, that is a bunch of kids. That is awesome. That's right. Well, church family, it is really good to be with you this morning. And hey, sweet girl. To be able to just gather together and in the name of the Lord. And this morning was going to be a little bit different. We have, as you guys know, a team that's going to Uganda. And this morning was going to be, Pam's already laughing, this was going to be a moment for us to sort of commission and pray over and send out that team. My dad, who leads World Reach Ministries that we partner with, was going to be sort of leading that charge today. He was going to be speaking, and then we were going to pray over our team and then send them out because they were about to leave on Tuesday. And then last Sunday, literally a week ago today, the president of Uganda announced a lockdown again in Uganda. And so no travel within the country and just all kinds of restrictions. And so we obviously had to put that trip on pause and on hold for now. So in the midst of that, and it's crazy because I literally just preached last week about just the craziness and the changes of life and trying to navigate that and trying to trust the Lord in the midst of it. And in the midst of that, literally what I didn't know is that afternoon I was going to get a call, hey, president closed down the country, your trip that you were heading to. So we adjust and we trust the Lord in the midst of it. And so that's what we're doing this morning. We are looking hopefully to reschedule that trip, and we'll have information about that in the days ahead. So what that means is if God's leading you to go to Africa, it's not too late because you can still jump on that team and join us for the next trip probably in August. But we got trips going other different places, and so we are going to continue to pray for those directions as well. But this morning, since he was already scheduled, we thought, well, let's just have Rick Vi preach for us. That's my dad. And so, Dad, why don't you come on up here? You're not a stranger here. Would you welcome my dad as he brings the word this morning? Preach it, Daddy-O.
Good morning. God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts. My mama used to say to me, son, when God closes a door, he opens a window somewhere. Now, I don't know chapter and verse on that, but I do know this. God does close doors, but when he does, there are open doors in other places. And so we're looking for those open doors. Until then, grateful to be here with you to share the word of the living God. What a crazy 18 months we have had. We've been through COVID. We've been through social distancing and wearing masks and unable to meet together. This last year, I've preached in empty buildings. I've preached on Facebook Live. I've preached in church parking lots, standing in the back of a pickup truck. And recently, I even preached in a church where the pastor had taken pictures of all of his church members and made cardboard cutouts of the members and put them in the seats. And I preached to a house full of cardboard cutouts. Do you know how hard it is to get an amen from a cardboard cutout? It's not happening. All they do is just stare at you. So it's good to be able to be together. Glad that we can have fellowship together once again. And I will appreciate words of amen and bless him and encouragement that'll help us get to the Word of God. You know, when I think about our pastors and how we're supposed to protect the family of God, I read an interesting story about a dear lady who had been a longtime member of her church, and she dearly loved her pastor and her people. Well, she got sick. Now, it wasn't COVID, but she did get desperately sick, and she wanted someone to come and minister to her, pray for her, read the scriptures, have some fellowship. So she called not her own pastor, but the pastor of a neighboring church. Well, when he got the call, he responded. He did visit with this lady. He read scripture. They had fellowship. He prayed for her healing. As he was getting ready to leave, he said, you know, I'm glad to meet you. I'm glad to be able to spend some time with you. But he said, I've got to ask you this question. Don't you have your own church? She said, well, yes, I do. I've been a member there for years. Then he said, you have your own pastor. She said, yes, and I love him dearly. He said, then why in the world would you call me to come and minister to you instead of your own pastor? She said, oh my goodness, I would not want him to catch this nasty stuff. And so you got to be careful about protecting the family of God. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's get to the Word of God this morning. My assignment is to share God's truth. If you have your Bibles, I'll call your attention this morning to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin looking at verse 5. We'll read down through verse 11. And I've established a habit over the years of just asking people to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of the living God. And so if you're able to stand, let me ask that you stand with me. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, down to verse 11. The Apostle Paul, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, writes these words when he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Here it is. And given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a good place for an amen. Is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's take a moment and pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for the moments that we have together as the family of God. Lord, we pray for the move of your Holy Spirit in this place, just so that we might see Jesus exalted, lifted high, and our hearts drawn out to him. Lord, if there's someone here today who's never yet known the joy of sin forgiven, experienced the love of God and your great salvation, Lord, we pray that today would be the day that they choose to follow Jesus Christ, turn from their sins, and run to the cross. Thank you for the church. Thank you for this family, this fellowship. We pray, Lord, it'll be a bright light in this community, faithfully calling people to the Lamb of God who still takes away the sins of the world. So now, Lord, be pleased to manifest your presence in this place. May we hear one voice. That's the voice of your Holy Spirit, speaking eternal truth to every heart. Lord, we'll give you the praise in advance, for you alone are worthy in the mighty and matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, and God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you, and be seated. It is the name, not just any name, but the name, the Scripture says, which is above every other name. It is the name of Jesus. Some years ago, I was invited to pray at a national convention for an organization that if I were to call the name, you would recognize it immediately. They were having their state rally in my home of Roanoke, Virginia, and someone had said, would you come and have the opening prayer? And so I did. I got to the high school auditorium. I really didn't realize what a big deal it was until I got there. The high school auditorium packed with hundreds of people. When I arrived, the city mayor was there. Other dignitaries were there. NBC News affiliates were there. And I took my place on the platform because I was to have the opening prayer at 7 p.m. to begin the meeting. Now, just a few moments before 7 o'clock, the leader of that organization appeared on the stage. She looked us over and she said, which one of you is the reverend? Nobody else raised their hand, so I raised mine. She must be talking about me. And she made her way toward me and she said, reverend, you're going to have the opening prayer. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, have you been given your instructions? Now, I thought that was odd because I've been leading in public prayer for a long time. I did not know I needed instructions on how to have the opening prayer at their assembly. She said, Reverend, here are your instructions. She said, there are people here from many different faiths and many different backgrounds, and we don't want to offend anyone tonight. She said, and so when you pray your prayer, you must not mention the name of Jesus. I said, ma'am, if I cannot pray in Jesus' name, then I can't pray in this meeting. She said, you can't do that. And I said, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to quietly slip off the stage and just find somebody else to pray. We were at an impasse. She looked at me and she said, look, can you not just pray and not mention his name? I said, ma'am, Jesus Christ is the most important thing that ever happened in my life. And when he hung on an old rugged cross and suffered and bled and died there, he was not ashamed of me, and I'm simply not ashamed of him. And if I pray in this meeting tonight, I will pray in Jesus' name. You know, she wasn't really encouraged by that statement, and she looked at me and very sternly said, you wait here. I watched her as she walked off the platform, and she gathered some of her leaders together. They were having an emergency meeting. Finally, she came back and she looked at me quite disgusted and she said, Reverend, just do what you have to do. Amen. Well, I got to the platform and I looked out across that audience and I said, ladies and gentlemen, let's pray together. Now, Father, we approach the throne of grace tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who died on an old rugged cross and then rose again on the third day to give us eternal life. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You see, it's all about the name. Because the name represents His might, His power, and His authority. It is that name that causes the angels to bow in worship. It is that name that causes the saints of God to rejoice. It is that name that brings salvation to the sinner. Hallelujah. It is that name that causes the demons in hell to tremble. What name? The name above every name. The matchless, mighty, marvelous name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what that passage of Scripture is all about. It's about the name above every name. In that passage of Scripture, just a couple of brief thoughts. First of all, notice that it is the sovereign name. Our Lord, the Scripture says, has given Him the name that's above every other name. It is the sovereign name. It is the sovereign name because He Himself is the great I Am. You know, when you read through the New Testament, in so many different occasions, our Lord Jesus demonstrated Himself not only as man, but the God-man. He would speak and people would say, never has one spoken like this before. His words, His presence brought the presence of the living God. Because He is the great I Am. Let me give you an example. On one occasion, our Lord said, I am the bread of life. And then just to prove that it's true, why, He took a little boy's lunch and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to 5,000 plus hungry people and fed them with one little lunch. Why? Because He's the bread of life. On another occasion, He said, I'm the light of the world. And then just to prove that it's true, why, He touched the eyes of a blind man who had never seen the light of day. And because He's the light of the world, the Bible says the light came flooding in and a blind man saw for the very first time. On another occasion, He stood in a Jewish cemetery with death and decay all around. And then He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And a dead man came back to life. Why? Because He is the resurrection and the life. On another occasion, He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. And just to prove that it was true, He would go to an old rugged cross where He would suffer, He would bleed, He would die for the sins of the world. My sins and your sins included. Amen. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. You see, he's the great I am. His name is the sovereign name because he's the great I am, but he's also the returning king. You see, folks, there's going to be a moment in time when a trumpet sounds, the sky splits wide open, and this mighty Savior, Jesus Christ, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, will come again. Folks, that's the great hope for the Church of Jesus Christ. I was preaching in Richmond, Virginia not long ago. It's a church where I've preached at on a number of occasions. I walked in the door. I was headed toward the front of the auditorium, and the church secretary approached me. She said, "Brother Rick, before you preach today, I need to ask you a question." I said, "Yes, ma'am. What is it?" She said, "Are you going to preach today about the return of Jesus Christ again?" I suppose she was inferring that every time I was in that church, I somehow preached about the return of the Lord Jesus. Well, I wasn't keeping score, all right? So I don't know that maybe it's true. Maybe I did somehow preach on the return of Jesus every time I preached in that church. But I got to thinking about it. Do you know that at least 300 times in the New Testament alone, we are told that Jesus Christ will come again? I thought, if the Bible can tell us 300 times, then bless God, I can preach on it 300 times. Hello! You know, there's much about the return of the Lord that I don't understand. I'm not a great Bible prophecy scholar. We have others in the service who are. I don't know who the 666 is spoken of in the book of Revelation. I have no idea. I know this. I know our world is sick. I needs the hope and the help and the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ alone. Hey, I don't know who the Antichrist is, but I sure know who Jesus Christ is, and I'm so glad I belong to Him, and He belongs to me. How about you? Has there been that moment in your own life when you ran to the cross and you received His love and His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness? Because He is the name above every name. The one who brings us hope and help and salvation and healing and strength and comfort and everything we need and all that our hearts long for, found in one name, found in that name, the name of Jesus Christ, because He is the sovereign name. But not only is His name the sovereign name, but His name is the saving name. Did you notice in that passage when Paul begins to describe who Jesus is, he refers to Him as God in the flesh, the one who became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the cross of Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of all human history. The most important event in all of the universe took place 2,000 years ago just outside the city of Jerusalem on a hill called Golgotha. Well, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Lord and our King, would shed His blood, would pay the price that we should have paid to purchase our salvation. I thought it was interesting. Back during Christmas season, when we were hanging up Christmas lights and putting up the tree and buying the presents and celebrating His coming into the world, a family in Raleigh, North Carolina, was doing the very same thing. And as they hung their Christmas lights, because they are a family of believers, they erected in their lawn a 6-foot cross decorated with lights. A few days later, they received a letter from the Homeowners Association. And the letter basically said, "You must take the cross down." They began to inquire, "Why must we take the cross down? Have we broken some rule or regulation?" The answer came back, "You must take the cross down because the cross has nothing to do with Christmas." Are you kidding me? The cross has everything to do with Christmas. That's why He came. He came for a cross. He came as our sacrifice. He came as our Messiah. And on that cross, paid the price for our sins. You know, the cross reminds us of several things. The cross reminds us of our own deep need. Had it not been for the cross, there'd be no hope for forgiveness. You know, some years ago, a famous psychologist wrote a book called I'm Okay and You're Okay. There's one problem with that book. I'm not okay. You're not okay. But that's okay. Because God in His goodness, in His mercy, in His grace, saw us in our great need. And rather than leaving us in our sins and letting us die in our sins and going into a Christless eternity, He made provision for our salvation. And that's why Jesus came. Not just to be the teacher. Not just to be the leader. Not just to be the healer. But to be the Savior. I need a Savior. Anybody here today need a Savior? We need a Savior. And that's why He came. You know, when He hung on the cross, the Bible tells us that in those 6 hours, He spoke seven times. Seven distinct words about His love for us, about our need for Him. In those final moments before He bows His head in death, we know the words well. Three words in the English New Testament. It is finished. In the language of the New Testament, only one word. You've heard it before. It's the word tetelestai. Interesting word because it could mean several things. It could be used by an artist who was painting a beautiful picture. And when he makes his last stroke of the brush on that painting, he looks back and examines his masterpiece. And then he can say, tetelestai. The painting is complete. It was a word that the athlete could use as he's running in those athletic games and he crosses the finish line and he looks back over the race that he has just won and he can say, tetelestai, finished and won. It was used in the world of economy. When you had made that final payment on an outstanding bill, and they would stamp it with the word tetelestai. Paid for in full. And every one of those words reflect on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The painting of God's plan of salvation is complete. The race has been won. And the price, thank God, I'm about to get excited, has been paid for in full. That ought to make somebody say amen. When Jesus hung on the cross, shed His blood, He didn't pay for most of our sins. Or some of our sins. Thank God He paid for all of our sins. By His own blood. As He bowed His head in death and said, tetelestai. It's done. It's finished. What a picture of the cross. What a picture of the love of God. How He loves you today. And if you've never experienced His love, never known the forgiveness of sins, I'm telling you on the authority of God's holy word, today is the day of salvation. And you can know Him and experience His love today because of the name. The sovereign name, the saving name. Scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus Christ. The sovereign name, the saving name. Let me just show you one final thing in that passage of Scripture. It is the strong name. See, the Bible says there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow before Him. Every tongue is going to confess to God that Jesus Christ is Lord. I tell people everywhere I preach, you can bow now. Receive His love, His forgiveness, His mercy, and His grace. Or you can bow later at the judgment. But make no mistake about it, every knee will bow before Him. Aren't you glad you've bowed the knee already to receive His mercy and grace? And if you haven't, today you can bow the knee and confess. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's a strong name that causes every knee to bow, that causes every tongue to confess. But may I remind you that because it's the strong name, it's the name that holds you, it's the name that comforts you, it's the name that heals you, it's the name that strengthens you, regardless of what you're going through. The Lord Jesus said it this way. He said, "All that my Father has given me will come to me, and they are in my hand. And no one can pluck them out of my hand." Could I just remind you that if you are in the hands of Jesus Christ today, nobody can take you out. When my children were small, you've done this with your kids or your grandkids. They're just learning how to grip. And they're testing their strength. And I would hold my hands out just like this, and those little hands would grab my index finger. And you know what you do next. They're holding on, and so what do? You want to test how strong they are, so you give them a little lift, don't you? This means yes in Virginia. Y'all with me? All right? They're holding on, and you just lift them up. And if they're holding on really tight, well, you hold them up a little bit higher, and perhaps a little higher and a little higher. But you know what begins to happen? You feel those little hands just holding on for dear life. But the grip begins to slip. And you sense it. You feel it. You know it. So what do? Do you just stand there and say, "Well, bless your heart, you gave it a good try"? Boom! You don't do that. The moment their grip gets weaker, your grip, hello, gets stronger. Over the years, I've had people say to me, "Oh, preacher, I just don't know if I can hold out. I'm going through so much. The struggle, the difficulty, the hurt, the heartache, the setbacks. I just don't know if I can hold on." Hey, child of God, could I just remind you this morning that it's not just you holding on to Him, but thank God, it's Him holding on to you. And when your grip isn't as strong as you want it to be, His grip just gets tighter on you. And He's holding you. And He's strengthening you. And when you feel like you can't hold on for another day, He just says, "That's all right. I got you in my hand. And nobody, not the devil in hell, not the angels in heaven, not the struggles of this life, not even death itself, can take you out of my hand. Because His name is the name above every name." Will you pray with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in these moments of prayer. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, what struggles, difficulties, hurts, heartaches, setbacks that you've been dealing with. And quite honestly, there may be somebody here who would say, "You know, preacher, I've wanted to come to Jesus, but I was just afraid I couldn't hold out." How many times have I had people say that to me? "Just afraid I can't last. I won't hold out." Dear one, it's not you holding out. It's not you holding on to Him. It's Him holding on to you. And He does and He will if you come to Him today. And if you've never yet opened the door of your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, today's the day of salvation. There's no greater moment than right now for you to throw open the door of your heart and turn from your sins and just simply call out to Him. You know, the Bible makes it so beautiful and yet so simple when the Scripture says, "And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Just as simple as that. You say, "Preacher, what is exactly involved in that? What does that mean?" It means I'm willing to say, "Lord, I can't save myself. I'll never be good enough." That's why Jesus came, paid the price for my sins on the cross, and I'm putting my faith in You. Not in my ability, but in Your ability. Not in my strength, but in Your strength. Not in my goodness, but in Your holiness. And by faith, I open the door of my heart and I receive Jesus Christ. Trusting Him, believing Him, surrendering my life to Him. If you've never done that, right now in the quiet of this holy moment, you can do that. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to make your way down one of these aisles and take Pastor or one of our leaders by the hand and just simply say, "Hey, today's my day. I don't want to miss out on knowing Him. So today I'm coming to Jesus." Maybe somebody needs to come back. You say, "You know, preacher, been a long time since I really walked close to the Lord, and I'm ready to start that brand new relationship with Him. And I'm just coming back to Him today." Then I'm inviting you to come. Maybe someone who says, "You know, preacher, the burden has become so heavy. I just don't know how much longer I can hold on." Dear one, can you just come to Him today and say, "Lord, You've got to hold me because I can't hold on any longer. But I'm putting myself in Your hands, knowing that You're Lord, that You're God, that You're King. And You will hold me." Father, thank You for these moments together. Blessed Holy Spirit, do in our hearts what only You can do. You exalt the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name, and draw every heart to Him today. Save some dear lost soul. Strengthen Your church. Heal a broken heart. And we ask it all in the name, above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet.
Amen. As you use this time, church, time to reflect on God and His Word and His grace, His mercy and His love towards us. If you have a special need this morning and you'd say, "I just need somebody to pray for me. I just need somebody right now just to pray for me." Would you just slip up your hand real quick and just say, "Pastor Jared, would you just pray for me?" Thank you. Anybody else? Just say, just pray for me. We're going to continue in an attitude of prayer. And if you are here this morning and you would say, "Man, I don't even know. I don't even know for sure that I'm saved. But I do want to know for sure." Kevin is going to be right over here. I'm going to be right down here as well. And we would love to talk to you and just to have a moment just to pray with you and open up a Bible and show you how you can be certain today. You don't have to question. You don't have to wonder. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to bring you up and make you answer some hard question. We just want to talk to you. And so we're going to be right here and we're going to be available as we have this time together to respond to the gracious offer that Jesus has for us.